This week's parsha is Parshas Chukas, and we will start with chapter 20. Chapter 20, there we start, Pasuk number 1, Vayevoh Bnei Yisrael Kol Oeda, that the Jewish people came, the whole congregation, Midbar Tzin, to the desert of Tzin, Bachoydesh Harishon, on the first month, Vayeshev Om BeKodesh, the people were in Kodesh, but Thomas Shom Miriam, Miriam died there, but he covered Shom, and she was buried there. And right after she was buried, Veloihoyo Maim Loeda, there was no water for the congregation, Vaikohalu, and they gathered Al Moshe Valaharun on Moshe and on Aharon. Rashi in Pasuk Aleph Kol Oeda, where it says that the Jewish people came, the whole congregation, to Midbar Tzin, Rashi is bothered by why is it saying that the whole congregation, it should have said, Vayevoh Bnei Yisrael Midbar Tzin, that the Jewish people came to the desert of Tzin. What is the Torah trying to tell me by adding the words Kol Oeda, the whole congregation? So Rashi says, Eida Hashleima, which is that's the complete congregation, Shekvar Meisu Meisei Midbar, that the people that were supposed to die in the desert because of the sin of the spies already died, Ve'elu Por Shulachaim, and this is a congregation that is going to go into Eretz Yisrael, they separate to life. In other words, the reason that the Torah writes Kol Oeda, the whole congregation, is to tell you the timeline of this story, that this happened 38 years after the sin of the spies, that all the people that were supposed to die because of that sin are already dead. And here the Torah is telling you Kol Oeda to let you know that this congregation is a whole new congregation, and the whole congregation is the congregation that is going to be going into Eretz Yisrael, and they are the ones that are now going to demand from Moshe Rabbeinu the water. And we will see why is it important to write down Kol Oeda, that the whole congregation, why is it important for me to know that this congregation is congregation that is going to go into Eretz Yisrael. What difference does it make for me at this point? One answer given, why is it important to know the timeline of this story, is to let you know that during the 38 years that the Jewish people were punished because of the sin of the spies, Hashem did not speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem did not have a conversation with Moshe Rabbeinu because the Jewish people were nezufim lamakoim, they were outcast by Hashem. And since Hashem only spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu in the merit of the Jewish people, if the Jewish people do not have merits, then Hashem does not speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. And the proof is here that we jumped 38 years without having any contact recorded between Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu. And Rashi brings this statement on Parshas Vayikra, where it says, Moel Moed Leimoir. Rashi writes down this idea that 38 years Hashem did not speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is actually the proof that Kol Oeda, now we have a new congregation, and now for the first time Hashem is speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, even though this time is a reaction to the Jewish people complaining about the water. I wanted to answer based on the Rashi on Parshas Korach, chapter 16, Pasuk number 4. There Rashi says, Va'ipol al Ponov, that when Korach made the rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu heard and he fell on his face. So Rashi is bothered, why did he fall on his face? Rashi says, from Medrash Tanchuma, Mipnei HaMachloikes, because of the strife, that this is already the fourth time that the people are rebelling against Hashem, and Moshe Rabbeinu has to intercede with them through prayer. When they sinned the golden calf, then Moshe Rabbeinu had to pray for them. When they sinned the sin of the Misoinonim, the Misoinim was the sin of kvetching. We just didn't know what we want. We were just unhappy and we were just arguing. Then Moshe Rabbeinu had to pray for them. By the spies, Moshe Rabbeinu prayed for them. And now it came the time of Korach. Now Moshe Rabbeinu's hand is already weak. And he says, till when do I have to go and intercede for them? Rashi gives example of the son of a king that rebelled against his father, or that did something bad against his father. The son has a friend who loves him, who has access to the king. And that person who loves the son came to intercede for the king, that he should not punish that son. The first time it came, he was able to intercede. Second time, the friend comes and intercedes again for the son of the king. The third time, he's able to intercede. When it comes the fourth time, then that friend says, you know, how many times am I have to go to intercede? Probably the king won't hear my pleas anymore. He gets weak. He doesn't have the strength to argue as much anymore. Here too, Moshe Rabbeinu, since this is the fourth time they rebelled against Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu, who loves the Jews, still feels weakened by his argument. So therefore, Ipol Alponov, he fell on his face, because this is already the fourth time that they rebelled against Hashem. According to this comes out that the story of Korach, by it being the fourth rebellion, it's already too much for Moshe Rabbeinu. The question we have to ask is, why does Rashi say that Moshe Rabbeinu felt weak after four times? We have heard the story of the water, that the Jewish people are now going to complain about the water. And later on, we have the story about the snakes on chapter 21, pasuk number 4, when the Jewish people start complaining that they tired of the bread and they tired of the water that they have, and Hashem will send the snakes to bite them, and Moshe Rabbeinu will pray to Hashem, and there Rashi doesn't bother to say that's too much, that Moshe Rabbeinu's hand was weakened. So you see, Moshe Rabbeinu, even the fifth time or the sixth time, still approaches Hashem and still prays for Hashem. So why does Rashi say here that four times Moshe Rabbeinu was weak and he could not pray? We see Moshe Rabbeinu even goes ahead and prays five, six times, and it doesn't bother him. The answer is that this is Kol Oeda. This is talking about now about the new group. The old group really messed up three times, and Moshe Rabbeinu prayed for them. The fourth time, Moshe Rabbeinu realized it's too much, that maybe I won't be able to achieve what I want. But now, this is not the fifth time. This is the first time of the new group. So the pasuk is telling you that now they came Kol Oeda, that this is Edo Chadosha, that this is a new group, that the original group already all passed away, all perished in the desert. Now this new group is coming. So this new group is coming to complain for the water. It's not the fifth time for them. It's actually the first time. So that's why it's written Kol Oeda, that this is a new congregation, to let you know why Moshe Rabbeinu is not weakened by the petition, because this is actually the first time for this new congregation. The Ramban asks a question that, according to Rashi, that if it's coming to tell you Kol Oeda, that from now on we have a whole new congregation, we have a full group, that this group is going to go into Eretz Yisrael, then we have a problem. That on chapter 20, pasuk number 22, there it's written, Va'isu mikodesh, the Jewish people left Kodesh, Va'yovoyu b'nei Yisrael, and the Jewish people came, Kol ho'eda, the whole congregation, ho'erahar, to hor ha'har. So the question is, that why is it written there, Kol ho'eda? Why does the Torah have to tell me there that the whole congregation came? The Torah could have just written, Va'yovoyu b'nei Yisrael, ho'erahar, that the Jewish people came to ho'erahar. Automatically, I know that if we have a new congregation from the death of Miriam, which was in Nisan, then we'll have a new congregation by the time Aharon dies, which is in Av. What can Rashi possibly explain? Why is it necessary there to write down Kol Oeda, that the old congregation was there? The Ramban himself brings Devin Ezra, that Devin Ezra here says, like Rashi, that here it's a new congregation, and there he tells you that it's written Kol Oeda there, that the whole congregation came to ho'erahar, to let you know that since the story of coming to ho'erahar is immediately following the story that we try to cross Edom, and Edom came to fight us in a war, and he wouldn't let us cross his land. So the Torah has to tell me now, call Oeda, that the whole congregation came, that even though Edom came to fight against us, he wasn't able to take anybody. No Jewish person perished, and everybody came to Hoyer Har. And that is what is emphasized by Kol Ha'Oeda, that the whole complete congregation was able to come intact to Hoyer Har. The Ramban doesn't like this idea very much, because technically, since there was no war against Edom, why would I think that there somebody perished there, that the Torah has to let me know that the whole congregation came to Hoyer Har in order to let you know that nobody died? Since there was no war, obviously there was no death. Therefore, the Ramban says that it's common every time that we have an argument against Moshe Rabbeinu, they always write down Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael, that the whole congregation came to fight. He brings different proofs of this idea that every time there's arguments, the Torah writes down Vayavoyu Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael, that the whole congregation came. Not necessarily to teach you a lesson about the congregation of the Jewish people. It's just usual that the Torah uses this language to let you know that everybody who was involved in the argument, that there was no separate groups of people that were not involved. And he asks, according to his own interpretation, that every time there is an argument, Hashem writes down that everybody who was involved in the argument by writing down that Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael, that the whole congregation was there, then we have a question that by Hoyer Har, the one that we asked a question originally, there it's no argument against Moshe Rabbeinu. There we're just going to tell you the story that Aharon is going to die in Hoyer Har. There is no arguments against Moshe Rabbeinu. Why would the Torah there require to write down Kol Oedo, the whole congregation, since there is no argument against Moshe? We don't have to tell you that the whole congregation fought against Moshe. The Ramban answers, even though there, when Maharan dies, there's no arguments, nonetheless, the Torah writes down Kol Ha'Eda, that the whole congregation came to Hoyer Har, to let you know that the whole congregation, everybody was involved in the crying for Aharon, that nobody was missing. And then he finishes saying that he himself saw in the Medrash what Rashi says, Edo HaShleima, that it was a new group, that everybody died, but he saw it referring to the Pasuk in Hoyer Har. The Pasuk that we mentioned, that we came to Hoyer Har, where Aharon died, that's where it's mentioned that a new congregation came. Because there's no argument against Moshe Rabbeinu. But he says that here, since there's an argument against Moshe Rabbeinu, the reason it's written Kol Oedo is because that's the normal way to write down when there's an argument against Moshe Rabbeinu, that everybody argued against Moshe Rabbeinu, and there was no special group that did not argue. But there, where we have no answer, there is where the Medrash write down that there comes to tell you that it was a new congregation. But he disagrees, and he says that's the normal way that the Torah always writes. Dorachaim HaKodesh asked this question, and he writes down a beautiful answer. He writes down that the Jewish people have different names depending on the level that they are. When the Jewish people are in a level where they are righteous and they are straight, then they are called Bnei Yisrael. But when they are not in such a high, lofty level, then they are called Ha'am, like we see on Parshas Shlach, chapter 14, Pasuk 11, when they were rebelling by the sin of the spies. There Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Adono yenatzun yeha'am azeh, until when will this nation provoke me? So you see, certain times we are called Bnei Yisrael, certain times we are called Am, and it brings down that there are certain times we are also called Am Bnei Yisrael, which means when we have righteous and mixed with the righteous, we have not so righteous, then the Torah mixes together and says Am Bnei Yisrael. But when it's written Bnei Yisrael, that means righteous people. So he explains that the reason it's written here by a voyo Bnei Yisrael, Kol Oedo, to let you know that in this point we are all in level that we are all considered Israel. That everybody here at this juncture what's righteous, and therefore at this juncture everybody is called Bnei Israel, that Vayvoyu Bnei Israel, that the Jewish people came, call away the whole congregation, everybody is righteous. And he explains that could be that's what the Medrash says when it says Eido HaShleima, which is translated as a complete assembly, which Rashi says, which means to tell you that all the people that died, died, and this is a complete assembly that will come into Eretz Israel. He says that Eido HaShleima, complete assembly, means it's complete, that everybody is righteous, that there is no evil people amongst them, that everybody now is considered Bnei Israel, is considered in the category of children of Israel, and that is what he is telling me. Eido HaShleima, complete congregation, is not a quantitative statement, it's a qualitative statement, which means that not the quantity of the Jewish people was complete, it means that the quality of Jewish people at this juncture was complete. And he admits that this is not the normal interpretation of the word Eido HaShleima, but he adds that we know there is Ayin Ponim LeTorah, there is 70 interpretations on every statement of the Torah, so therefore he has poetic license to translate it this way, since it does not involve any halachic rulings. Then Dora Chaim asks a question, why is it important to let me know at this juncture that the Jewish people were all righteous? What difference does it make if they were all righteous or not? So he explains that there's three reasons why the Torah tells me now that they're all righteous. One, to let you know that since this is the beginning of the story of Mei Meriva, of the waters of strife, that's the story about the Jewish people asking Moshe Rabbeinu for water, and then Moshe Rabbeinu hitting the rock, and because he hit the rock, it was decreed that he won't come into Eretz Israel. And there are different Mefarshim that explain there are different reasons why Moshe Rabbeinu did not go into Eretz Israel. One of the reasons they explain is because he called the Jewish people, listen to all rebels, and since the Jewish people now were righteous, they did not deserve to be called all rebels, or because he got angry at the Jewish people, and since the Jewish people are righteous at this point, that the Torah testifies they were righteous, Moshe Rabbeinu, they should not get angry at them because it's normal to ask for waters. That is one of the reasons why the Torah is telling you, Kol Oedo, that the whole congregation was righteous at this juncture, and that caused Moshe Rabbeinu to be punished because of them. The other reason Dora Chaim brings down is to tell you actually the greatness of Miriam. That even though all the congregation of Jews are now righteous, nonetheless, none of them deserve to have the well of Miriam coming in their merit. None of them have enough merits to cause the waters to flow after Miriam's death. Miriam was such a high level that only she deserved to have the well, that as soon as she died, the well stopped, even though the whole Jewish congregation was righteous. It's telling you how great Miriam was, that even though the whole Jewish people are righteous, still none of them deserve to have the well of Miriam come in their merit. And as soon as Miriam dies, the well stops. And the third reason the Dora Chaim says why it's written Kol Oedo, that the whole Jewish people were righteous people, is to explain a Medrash. The Medrash tells you that when Aharon and Moshe saw the people coming at them, Aharon tells Moshe Rabbeinu that, look, these people are coming to do acts of kindness, to do Nichum Aveilum. We lost our sister, and they're coming here to do chesed with us, to do kindness with us, and to visit the house of mourner. So Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, no, they're not coming only to argue. They didn't come here to do acts of kindness. They came here to argue against us. And as a matter of fact, certain Mefarshim bring down that since they came at this time, where it's normally a time for mourning, that caused Moshe Rabbeinu to become even more upset, and that's why he got angry, that you have nothing to do just when we are sitting Shiva, we are mourning our sister, you have nothing to do just to come and fight us about the water, and that's what got Moshe Rabbeinu even angrier. So you may think that Moshe Rabbeinu really is right, that these people must be not good people because they're coming to fight about water when Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting Shiva. Therefore, the Torah is telling you that Bnei Israel, Kol HaOeda, that here the whole congregation is considered Bnei Israel, and they are all righteous people. And the reason they didn't come to do acts of kindness is because they thought that since they were present by the burial, because the Pasuk says, Vatamas Shom Miriam, Miriam died there, Vatikover Shom, and she was buried there. And the Gemara in Moed Katan Daf Kof Ches Omed Aleph brings down that Samuch Lemisa Kvura, that right next to her death they buried her, which means immediately after death they buried her. Obviously, everybody was present during the burial of Miriam. They thought that they already fulfilled the obligation to do kindness to Miriam. And then when they don't have water, they're coming to complain about water. But everybody was present when Miriam died, and everybody fulfilled the obligation for doing acts of kindness. Therefore, the Torah is telling, according to Rachaim, the Torah is letting you know that they were not evil people, like Moshe thought. They were actually righteous people, that it says, Bnei Israel, Kol HaOeda, the whole congregation. The Gemara in Taanis Daf Tes Omed Aleph brings down that Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda Oimer, Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda says, Shloisha Parnasim Toivim Omdu LeYisrael. The Jewish people had three excellent leaders. Elohen, those are the leaders, Moshe, Aharon, and Miriam. The Gimel Matonos Toivos Nitnu Al Yadom. And these three leaders had, because of them, three gifts. Ve'elohen, and these are the gifts, Be'er, the well of Miriam, Ve'anon, and the clouds that protected the Jewish people and straightened out the mountains, Uman, and the manna, which was the food that we ate in the desert. And the Gemara continues, Be'er, the well, came Bishus Miriam, in the merit of Miriam. Amud Anan, the clouds, came Bishus Aharon, in the merit of Aharon. Man, the man came Bishus Moshe, in the merit of Moshe. The Gemara continues, that Meis Miriam Nistala Kabeir, that as soon Miriam died, the well dried up, V'chazra Bishus Shneim, and because of the merit of Moshe Aharon, the well came back. Meis Aharon in Aharon died, Nistal Kwanane Kovit, the clouds of glory dissipated, and then it came back in the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu, Mes Moshe, and Moshe Rabbeinu died, Nistal Kukulam, everything went away. Because the Pasuk writes down, the Pasuk in Zechariah chapter 11, Pasuk 8 says, Voechad, and I removed Shloishoroim, the three shepherds, Beyerach Echad, in 1 month, which means to say that Moshe and Aharon and Miriam died in 1 month. So Gemara asks a question, V'chi b'yerech echad meisu? Moshe, Aharon, and Miriam died in 1 month. It's not true. Miriam says clearly in the Torah that she died in Nisan. Aharon says clearly in the Torah that she died in Av. And Moshe, we know tradition, he died in Adar. Then obviously they did not die in 1 month. So how come Zechariah writes down that I took all three in 1 month? So Melamed, the Gemara tells you that the Pasuk is telling you that since Moshe Rabbeinu died, automatically all three gifts that were given disappeared. The well dried up, the clouds dissipated, the man stopped falling. So it's viewed like all three people died at one time. Since when Moshe Rabbeinu died, the manna and the well of Miriam and the clouds of glory dissipated. So it's viewed as the all three died at the same time. So the Chasam Sofer asks a question, if it's true that Moshe Rabbeinu has got the merits to carry the manna and to carry the well of Miriam and to carry the clouds of glory, because we see that after Miriam died, Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon carried the merit of the well. And after Aharon died, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to carry the well and the clouds. Ultimately, we see that Moshe Rabbeinu had the merit to carry all three things. Why do you say that the well came the merit of Miriam, and the clouds claiming the merit of Aharon, and the manna claiming the merit of Moshe? Why did you say that all three things came in the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu? We could answer simply the same idea that you could have a chazan that knows how to daven shachris, and the same chazan knows how to daven musaf, and the same chazan knows how to daven psukah de zimra. Nonetheless, you are not going to give him all three kibudim. You will decide to give a person psukat zimra, somebody else shachres, and somebody else musaf, even though this person could do all three things. Nonetheless, it's customary to give out the kibudim to other people. True that Moshe Rabbeinu probably had enough merits for the well of Miriam, for the clouds of glory, and for the manna, but nonetheless he gave over the merits for the well to give to Miriam and for the clouds to Aaron, and he kept the manna. But that doesn't mean that he didn't have enough merits for all three, because eventually we see that he does have the merits for all three. But the Chasam Sofer says a beautiful answer. He explains that Miriam's job was to make sure that the women are righteous, and she's the one who taught women completely how to maintain themselves. And in that merit, the well came. In Aharon's mission was to be Oyev Shalom and Roidev Shalom, that his mission was to love peace and chase after peace, make sure that the Jewish people keep in harmony with one another and be peaceful. And in that merit came the clouds of glory. And Moshe Rabbeinu's mission was to teach the people Torah, to teach them the words of Hashem, and in that merit we received the manna. I will give the analogy of a company. We know if you're creating a new company, that requires to have a lot of work. You're required to cover every department, every little transaction, every way that the company is going to work. You're required to supervise, make sure that everything is working properly. You work extra hard, you work overtime. But yet, if the company is running already for 30, 40 years, then it's pretty easy to put a manager to supervise the daily operations of the company. To start operations and to get the clients, make sure everything works properly, everything is produced the proper way, requires to have a lot of work. But once the company is already working, to put a manager on top of that company does not require to have so much work and does not require to have so much expertise, because the company works already by itself. The Chasam Sofer explains that Moshe Rabbeinu, at the beginning of the 40 years journey in the desert, did not have the ability to take care of the women, to make sure that the women are guided properly in the ways of Hashem, and he also did not have the expertise to deal with the people, that the people should have shalom, peace between each other, and also at the same time to be able to teach him Torah. Therefore, the Chasam Sofer says, Moshe Rabbeinu really did not have the merit to bring him the well, to bring him the clouds of glory, and to bring him the man. Since Moshe Rabbeinu did not have the ability to do all these three things, then these three things were done. The women were guided by Miriam, peace in the community was done by Aharon, and Moshe Rabbeinu had the job to teach Torah. But after 40 years, where the women were righteous, and Miriam was able to prove herself, and she was able to make sure that the women stay in line so much that the women never seen the golden calf, and the women did not sin and despise, they were all the way righteous, and they loved Eretz Yisrael, like we see from the children of Slavchot. So we see that women were in a high level, and that came in the merit of Miriam working with them. So at that point, Moshe Rabbeinu is able to work with them. Like the manager who takes over after 40 years, which then it doesn't require so much effort to maintain the quality and the spirituality that they had during the 40 years. The Jewish people are always fighting each other. So Aharon was able to instill in them shalom, peace, harmony, and also was able to connect them, making peace ben Adam le'Adam and ben Adam le'Makoim, making peace between man and man and between man and Hashem. Therefore, the clouds of glory came in the merit of Aharon. So Moshe Rabbeinu, in the beginning of the 40 years, could not do this in addition to his teaching Torah. But after 40 years, when people are already used to how to deal with each other, they already know how to talk to each other, they already know not to fight, then Moshe Rabbeinu is able to maintain and be able to bring the clouds of glory. Like the manager who comes after 40 years is able to maintain the company without much effort. But had he done it from the beginning, he probably wouldn't be able to do it. That's what it's meant, according to Chasam Sofer, that the well came in the merit of Miriam and not Moshe, and the clouds of glory came the merit of Aharon and not Moshe, only after they both died during the 40th year of the desert, then all three things could come in the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Shlo answers this question with a basic yesod, with a basic premise. He explains that it is much harder to make a miracle anew than after the miracle is made to maintain it or recreate it. That to make something from nothing for the first time it is very hard, but to once that is done, it is much easier to recreate. So therefore he explains that Moshe Rabbeinu could not do the well. But once Miriam made the well, Miriam had the schools, had the work to make the well. Therefore, it's easier for later on Moshe Rabbeinu to recreate it. The clouds could not come in the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu. Required to have Aharon to have the merit to bring the clouds, and requires to have a great effort. But once Aharon brought the clouds, then Moshe Rabbeinu could recreate it and could actually do it again. Therefore, the Gemara says that only after they died, then Moshe Rabbeinu is able to do them again. But originally, he wasn't going to be able to do it. And that's how he answers the question of Devan Ezra on Rashi, on Shmos, chapter 2, Pasuk Aleph. Rashi on Shmos, chapter 2, Pasuk Aleph, writes down that Levi married Yocheved, and Yocheved was actually at that age, Rashi brings down, which is actually the Gemara in Soita Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, that Yocheved, when she gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu, she was 130 years old. Comes out that Yocheved had the first child when she was 125, because Miriam was 5 years older than Moshe. If she's 130 years old when she gives birth to Moshe Rabbeinu, comes out that she's 125 years old when she gives birth to Miriam. So Devan Ezra asks a question, how can you say that? We know that Sarah Imenu gave birth when she was 90 years old to Yitzchak, and the Torah describes what a great miracle it is that a woman should give birth at that age, and yet we see that Yocheved herself gave birth even later, and that is not even mentioned anywhere, that's a miracle like that. If it was such a great miracle, Devan Ezra asks, how come it's not mentioned at all? The Ramban in Bereshit chapter 46, Pasuk number 15, brings Devan Ezra, and he answers that it is only mentioned a miracle that's predicted by a prophet or by Hashem. Hashem makes a lot of miracles every day, but only miracles that were predicted and came true, those miracles are written in the Chumash, in the Torah. But miracles that were not predicted, even though they are still miracles, they are not written. So therefore, Sarah Imenu was predicted, it's written. Yocheved was not predicted, even though it's a miracle, it is not written. According to what the Shlo explains, that the hardest thing is the first time the miracle happens, that the person who creates that miracle requires to have a lot of merit, but afterwards to recreate it not required to have so many merits, then we could say that that is the reason why Yocheved birth at 125 is not written. What do I mean? I mean that now that we see that an older woman could have children, now that Sarah Imenu brought out this idea that the older woman could have children, then it's not a miracle anymore that older women have children. It's a normal thing. Once Sarah Imenu brought forth that concept, the same idea that once Miriam brought forth the concept of a well, now Moshe Rabbeinu could duplicate it, recreate it very easily, so too Yocheved could recreate it very easily once Sarah Imenu brought forth the concept that a person could again achieve youth, even though she already got old, so too Yocheved, she could achieve youth, even though she already got old. Therefore, the Torah doesn't bother to tell you the miracle that Yocheved had a child at the age of 125, because once this was achieved already by Sarah Imenu, that she was old and she became young again and she had a child, it's easier for Yocheved to achieve that since that miracle already occurred, and to recreate it is not as hard. The Chasam Sofer is trying to find out the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon were punished that they are not allowed to go to Eretz Israel because of what they did here in Mei Meriva, and he's trying to find out what was the harsh sin that they did. So he explains with the Gemara that we just mentioned. The Gemara brings a pasuk that says, "Vo'ekhad shloishos aroim b'yerachechad," that I remove from you these three shepherds in 1 month. And the three shepherds that's referring to, it's referring to Miriam, Moshe, and Aharon. And since it's mentioned that they took away three shepherds in 1 month, and he puts them all together, that seems to imply that their deaths had the same reason. That Miriam, Aharon, and Moshe died because of the same reason. And we actually see here a reason why Moshe and Aharon would die, but we don't see a reason why Miriam would die. So he explains that since Miriam, we know she spoke Lashon Hara, Medrashim Bamidbar Rabba Yutes brings down the idea that Lashon Hara kills three people: the person who speaks Lashon Hara, the person who accepts Lashon Hara, and the person who Lashon Hara was spoken about. And those three people are also Miriam, Aharon, and Moshe. Miriam spoke Lashon Hara on Moshe, Aharon accepted the Lashon Hara that Miriam spoke, and Moshe Rabbeinu is the person that is spoken Lashon Hara about. So he explains that that is the reason why they would not come into Eretz Yisrael. And he explains further that Hashem Yisborach at this juncture, after we have a new congregation, Hashem Yisborach wanted to show the Jewish people the power of good speech, the power how you could just speak nice to somebody and that will come out to do good. And to emphasize the power of speech, Hashem wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to specifically speak to the rock, and the rock will give forth its water. So you see how powerful your speech is, that if you speak good about somebody, you could do extreme good. And the opposite, if you speak bad about somebody, how it could influence to the bad, how you could increase strife and fights. But Moshe Rabbeinu, because he hit the rock, that caused the Jewish people not to value the idea of speech, because we missed a chance to prove to them how good speech is and how through the speech even rocks will give forth water. And it showed them that the importance is not what you say, it's only important what you do, that only by hitting the rock, that's how water will come forth from the rock, that actions are more important than words. And he continues and says that because Moshe Rabbeinu missed the opportunity to show how important speech is, the Jewish people did not learn that lesson, and the Jewish people did not see that it's important to say good words. Therefore, the Jewish people did not realize how bad Lashon Hara is, and they spoke Lashon Hara freely. And because they spoke Lashon Hara freely, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu could not go into Eretz Yisrael. Now you're going to ask me a question, what the connection is between them speaking Lashon Hara and Moshe Rabbeinu going into Eretz Yisrael? The answer is based on Sefer Megale Amukos. Sefer Megale Amukos, Oifen Chof, brings down that he had Moshe Rabbeinu gone into Eretz Yisrael, he would have built the Beis Hamikdash, and the Beit HaMikdash would have never been destroyed. Why? Because Gemara Masechet Soita, Daf Tes Amud Aleph, brings down that Moshe and David, whatever Moshe Rabbeinu, whatever David HaMelech created, no enemy ruled over their actions. That the gates that David HaMelech built for the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu built, those things were never taken by our enemies because their handiwork cannot be taken by a foreign power. Had Moshe Rabbeinu built the Beis HaMikdash, then the Beis HaMikdash could not have been destroyed. Also, there is a Medrash in Eicha which quotes the Pasuk on Tehillim 79. Psalm 79, there it says, Mizmor le'Asaf, a song to Asaf, Elohim, Bo goyim v'nachlasecha, that Gentiles have come to your inheritance, to your heritage. Timu has heichal kotshecha, they have defiled and contaminated your holy abode. The Medrash in Eicha has a question. Mizmor le'Asaf, a song to Asaf, kino le'Asaf, a cry to Asaf. This psalm is talking about the destruction of the temple. And for that you say, Mizmor le'Asaf, a song to Asaf, quite opposite. We should all cry and lamentations to Asaf. The Medrash answers that is actually a blessing. The fact that Hashem destroyed the temple, it's actually a blessing. Why? Because had Hashem not destroyed the temple, He would have had to destroy the Jews. Because it is a blessing for us that Hashem put His wrath on stones and mortar, giving His wrath on a building instead of giving it on the people, instead of giving it on the Jews. Therefore, we thank Hashem for doing that. We also know that the main reason that the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed is because of Sinas Chinam, which is baseless hatred. And the main manifestation of Sinas Chinam, of baseless hatred, is Lashon Hara. When we talk evil about some other people, even though it's true, we give derogatory remarks on other people, that is the main source of Sinas Chinam, of baseless hatred. And that is really the cause of the destruction of the temple. So it comes out, had Moshe Rabbeinu gone into Eretz Yisrael, he would have built the Beis HaMikdash. Had he built the Beis HaMikdash could not be destroyed. But yet, we have the problem of Sinas Chinam, because Moshe Rabbeinu did not fix that problem because he hit the rock. Had Moshe Rabbeinu not hit the rock, had he spoken to the rock, then we would have gotten the point that speech is very important, and you would have never spoken bad about your fellow man, we would have spoken only good. Because we would have gotten the message that even speaking to a rock would help. So imagine if you're speaking good about a Jew, you would never end up speaking bad. But since Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock, we never learned the message that speaking Lashon Hara is so bad. Therefore, we ended up speaking bad. And because we ended up speaking bad, we ended up having Sinas Chinam. Once we ended up having Sinas Chinam, Hashem is required to punish us. And Hashem decided to punish us by destroying the Beis HaMikdash. But had Moshe Rabbeinu gone into Eretz Yisrael, then Hashem would not have a choice. Hashem would have to punish us by giving us directly a patch. Therefore, the Chasam Sofer explains that since Moshe Rabbeinu is the cause that the Jewish people did not learn the lesson about Lashon Hara, because they hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock, so the Jewish people ended up sinning. Once the Jewish people sin, Hashem is required to punish them. So since Hashem is required to punishment, He decides to punish them by destroying the Beis HaMikdash instead of giving them personally a punishment. And if Hashem is required to destroy Beis HaMikdash, then Moshe Rabbeinu cannot go into Eretz Yisrael. Because if Moshe Rabbeinu goes into Eretz Yisrael, Hashem cannot destroy the Beis HaMikdash, because anything Moshe Rabbeinu built cannot be destroyed. So because Moshe Rabbeinu failed to sanctify God's name by hitting the rock and not showing them the value of good speech, that caused Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon to die outside Eretz Yisrael. And that's the Chasam Sofer says, that comes out that the punishment for Miriam, Moshe and Aharon was all because of Lashon Hara, and because of that they could not go into Eretz Yisrael. From this we could see how important it is to say good speech, because only because of our Sinas Chinam, our Lashon Hara, we didn't merit to have Moshe Rabbeinu coming to Eretz Yisrael, and we didn't merit Moshe Rabbeinu to build the Beis HaMikdash that it would have endured forever. So Hashem Yisbarach should help that we should all try not speak Lashon Hara, and we should all try to praise each other. Like that we will have Ahavas Chinam, baseless love. And if we have baseless love, then Moshiach will come, Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. B'imhero b'yameinu, Amen.